Hello, it's Lisa and Pete here for a Thursday show catch-up.
Emma Groves from the WA Heart Foundation joined us to talk school lunchbox crackdowns. Teachers are sending notes home if they consider your kids' lunch unhealthy.
And then it was over to you, Perth. Teachers and parents shared their views on whether kids' lunchboxes should be checked by teachers and foods deemed not healthy enough should be sent home.
And Dennis Cometti has his footy tips for round 11.
This is a Lisa and Pete podcast made in Perth for Perth. On Mix 94.5.
Now, a story came our way today, Lise, about WA schools cracking down on what they believe is unhealthy food in kids' lunchboxes.
Yes.
And in so saying, us sending them home back to Perth parents. For more on this, we're joined by Emma Groves, who's the nutrition manager of Heart Foundation WA. Thank you so much for your time, Emma.
Hello, thanks for having me.
Emma, so I take it, are you directly involved in what they're trying to set up in schools?
No, we're not. No. The Heart Foundation is just involved in, I guess, promoting healthy eating to, you know, make sure we prevent heart disease.
All right. So obviously you would be in favour of kids eating healthy during the day. The reasons are obvious. They learn better if they have balanced meals and so on. But what kind of uniformity can there be to schools being kind of the lunchbox police?
Look, I imagine it'd be really hard. You know, teachers don't actually have control of what comes home, what comes to school in people's lunchboxes. I guess, but they're doing such a hard work in promoting healthy eating and other aspects. You know, they've got healthy food in the canteen. So, you know, some schools have veggie gardens where they do curriculum activities around nutrition, etc. Some of them have school breakfast programs promoting healthy eating. So it must be really hard, you know, when children are coming in with sort of, I guess, these really kind of convenient individual package, sort of convenient discretionary food.
Right.
That doesn't sort of support what's going on within the school.
Well, Emma, I mean, one of those convenient packaged foods that you're talking about, and this is actually something that one parent posted about, right? And she mentioned getting really sick of my daughter's food being sent home from school. Since when is popcorn not allowed as a snack? Now, you know, would popcorn be something that from the Heart Foundation, or it might get the Heart Foundation tick as part of a balanced lunchbox for a kid at school?
What's actually so interesting, you mentioned that. I was at a shop the other day and it had $1 package popcorn at the checkout. And I thought, that's a beautiful, great, healthy snack.
Mm.
Unfortunately, when I flipped it over, it had, I think it was 29 grams of saturated fat per 100 grams and about 100 milligrams of salt.
Right.
So I guess it just shows what's wrong with this sort of processed packaged food, that's generally quite high in added salt, added sugar, etc. Far better to sort of, you know, make the popcorn at home so it's sort of distilled a fresh whole food sauce.
I guess we don't know what sort of popcorn she sent. I was thinking of it, you know, the old-fashioned popcorn popped in your pot.
Just a bit of butter or something.
Well, no butter.
Unfortunately, you know, children's diet, the latest research is that, you know, 40% of children's diet these days is from discretionary foods. So that's all the foods that are non-core. And that's a huge proportion of children's diet. And so unfortunately, they're not getting the serves of, you know, fruit and vegetables, dairy products that they need to support health and well-being. So what we really want to do is sort of swap these processed foods that are maybe going into lunchboxes that are outside of the school as well. So sort of more of those sort of core food groups like your fruit, vegetables and plain yogurt.
At the moment, obviously, you know, some schools are sending some lunches home. There's not an across-the-board approach to this yet. Has the education department contacted you for guidelines as to, you know, what? Because the teachers aren't nutritionists. They're there to teach them how to read and write. Have they contacted you to help in trying to introduce some kind of system?
Well, see, the schools have, the government schools have the WA Healthy Food Policy, I think it's called, and whereby the school canteens have to have a certain proportion of green and amber foods. So it's all traffic coded, the foods that are sold in canteens, and they can't have red foods. In terms of the part of education sort of extending that to school lunchboxes and other things, it would be very hard, and it's not something I believe that they are. I don't know, but I don't think it's something that they're considering. Purely, it would be very hard to police, and you know, it does raise some issues about whether you actually can do that. You know,
yeah, absolutely.
We need to show some discretion. You know, some people might be in a hurry. You know, processed food isn't always bad.
And who's the parent, after all, at the end of the day as well? You know.
If you've just joined us, we're talking to Emma Groves, who's a nutrition manager of Heart Foundation WA, about this story of some WA schools sending lunchboxes back to parents saying that what you're putting in there isn't good enough. I've got one more question here for you, Emma. I imagine that parents would go out of their way to try and find information about the best way to go about putting stuff in their lunchboxes. And some of them, you know, both parents work full time. It can't always be that easy to pack lunches and do what my mum once did back in the day, which was, you know, continental rolls and stuff like that. But are you getting a lot of feedback from parents who are coming your way for information saying, look, this is all well and good, but it's not as easy as what you guys are making it out to be?
Hey, look, I'm a mother and I appreciate my children aren't in school age yet, but I'm always looking for a healthy snack and it's so easy to try and get a convenient sort of prepackaged food.
Yeah.
So yes, myself, and we often get phone calls from teachers and some parents, you know, wanting more information about what they can pack in their lunchboxes. We do have a website, livelighter.com.au, which has a family section, which gives some tips around school lunchboxes. It's got a PDF brochure you can download. This is very topical and, you know, parents are trying their best. It's just putting it into the context of, you know, processed food, unfortunately, is so high in salt and sugar, and that's why we're concerned about it.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of those things are marketed as, you know, great for a school lunchbox. It'll just pop one in, you know.
Yeah.
So it is tough. They're just trying to come up with some variety.
All right. Emma, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks, Emma.
Perth parents, has this happened to you? Are your kids being sent home with a note or their lunchboxes with teachers and schools saying, I'm sorry, what you put in there just isn't good enough?
Unacceptable was the term.
Unacceptable.
Because of its high sugar content.
Richard in Ocean Reef, has this happened to you, mate?
Well, you can see it coming on the horizon. I'm not a big fan, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think that there's a couple of issues that I have. First of all, lunch is just like one meal of the day and a relatively minor one in many people's book. I don't think teachers need to worry about that too much. I think the parents are usually making sure the kids are getting a breakfast and an evening meal, which balances the diet.
Mm.
And then the other point is, I often wonder, what's the commercial aspect of this? Because a lot of schools get a percentage of the profit that the canteen makes.
Mm-hmm.
The canteens are selling sausage rolls and pies and full-fat chocolate milk and everything else. You know, my kids can go through $5-6 a day easily in those canteens. And they get no direction on healthy food at the canteen. They just get to get what they want. So it seems a little bit hypocritical.
Yeah, it is weird.
Yeah, it is
even
interesting.
Even the canteens aren't uniform in what they sell.
And just on that point, it would be interesting to go to, because unfortunately this story doesn't tell us which school they actually sent this note back to this mum saying, sorry, the sultanas, which, by the way, sultanas are too sugary?
I think they're reasonably high in sugar, but I mean, where does it stop?
I don't know. A box of sultanas was always a snack at high school for me.
I don't think I've ever read the little thing on the side of sultanas. I don't do dead flies.
But it would be interesting to know what this school does sell in their canteen, considering what they're sending
back. I thought schools had stopped selling things like Richard just said, but obviously not all of them.
Damo in Hocking.
How you going, guys?
Hey, Damo, mate. You've got three young boys.
Yeah, two live with me. One lives with his mum. But
And how do their lunches go? Does she pull her hair out trying to come up with some variety?
Oh, look, my wife's, she's pretty amazing about getting the boys' lunches organised. I mean, the boys have crunch and sip at their schools.
Mm-hmm.
And sultanas and stuff like that. I mean, what I don't understand is kids have recess and lunchtime. Those kids burn off so much energy in those times, kicking football, soccer balls, playing cricket, whatever. Mm. And, I mean, no matter about that salt, I mean, I'm a tradie. I burn off salt like it's going out of fashion. So what's it got to do with the schools? Comes back to the parents, and healthy living comes back to the parents every time.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, I can honestly say my kids have probably had McDonald's probably 20 times in their whole life, and he's only 9.
Right.
Yeah, right, okay. It's a fair point, mate, you know, putting it back on the parents. I got to admit,
well,
though, the whole...
Well, at some point, you've got to just let the parent.
Yeah, but the point about, you know, kids running around and burning off, like I wasn't doing that when I was at school, though. Like, I was in the library, you know, reading books or in the chess club or something. I'm serious,
We used to run around on bitumen, I'd have my knees would be covered in mercurochrome because we'd fall off. Now, there are people that know what I mean. Now, there are these rules about you can't play here, you can't play there. So on the one hand, they're sending home your sultanas, and on the other hand, they're cutting back on physical education and the different things you can do. It's a crazy situation.
Where's the balance? Look, for a different perspective
in case they
on
get
this,
hurt.
Chloe from Helena Valley has called us. You're a teacher who's seen some
Hello,
horrendous
Chloe.
Lunches. Hi, Chloe.
Hi, guys. Yeah, I have, definitely.
So is this happening in many schools or is it a sort of each school, you know? Okay.
No, it is. And I mean, I think it's spread across all socioeconomics and all schools, whether private or public. Mm-hmm. I've taught in both. Mm-hmm. And really, when a parent sends 2 Mars bars and a packet of CCs,
yeah, that's unreal,
4 days
isn't it?
In a row,
yeah.
I mean, and this is serious. This happens.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the point where, you know, we actually were taking away that lunchbox because the kid's crashing after lunch.
Yeah, not as it doesn't help him.
Upside down.
Doesn't help the rest of the class. Doesn't help you. It's it's a bigger effect than just that one kid. And I mean, it is astronomical, the effect that sort of food has on a little person's brain when they're trying to learn. So I certainly see the point.
Definitely.
You had any weird reactions from parents?
Yeah.
Look, some have. I mean, if it's homemade and it's a brownie and it's something like that, you know, there's a lot of love that's gone into that.
Yeah.
So that wouldn't be something that you'd send back home.
Mm-hmm.
But when it's packaged foods, if there's more than 3 or 4 packets in there, I mean, come on. On a Sunday night, why don't you get together with your kids, make up a few sandwiches, chuck them in the freezer.
That's what
you know,
my
that's
mum used
convenient.
To do. Yeah.
Chloe, can I ask?
Actually, my mum did too.
Like, yeah. You as a teacher, how would you, because maybe there are some like parents out there who aren't that well educated when it comes to this sort of
stuff.
No, it sounds
like those kids are putting their own lunch together, doesn't it?
Yeah,
chuck a few things in the box.
You as a teacher, how would you better educate those parents to help them along?
Well, what we actually did was we sent home a couple of brochures that we had made of some awesome pictures of lunches and, hey, this is what we expect, you know, piece of fruit, some yogurt in a little container. It's not really hard and getting the kids involved in it, they love it. It promotes independence.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, get it in primary school and get them interested in that sort of thing and then it'll do them well in the long run.
All right, Chloe.
All right.
Exactly right.
Thank you for your call.
Good luck with your Mars bucket.
Take care.
You still got
Chloe from Helena Valley there. She's a teacher with a really interesting other side to that coin as well then, isn't it?
So, I'm such a proponent of breakfast in schools. I would love my tax to go towards making sure that every school provides breakfast and every kid gets a good breakfast, because there are some kids that go to school without any breakfast because of their situations. And no one wants to have to talk about that. And the others that could have had breakfast come for the breakfast anyway and just, you know, everyone gets one.
Jeez, it's a good idea.
I don't think
it's
the places to take the tax-funded stuff away from to put it there.
Oh, what a beauty! Talking footy with Dennis Kennedy for Automasters.
Like a cork in the ocean over his head.
As we do every week at this time, Dennis Kennedy, good to have you back on Lisa and Pete.
Hello.
It's great to be back. Hello, Lisa. Hi, Pete.
Round 11 already and 6 teams have the bye.
Yes, and a game in progress already. Port Adelaide are playing Hawthorn. Oh. So I haven't heard a score from that one. Do you guys know?
No, I didn't even realise it was
asked, on. Oh, I never ask a question you don't know the answer to. Sorry.
It's all right, mate. I'm
Port Adelaide in that game anyway.
Port Adelaide, all right, there we go. Well, we'll use that and get right in. So Port Adelaide is your pick for that one. We move on to tomorrow night. Geelong hosting the guys who had a massive win over Fremantle last weekend, the Adelaide Crows.
Adelaide were terrific, weren't they? Their record at Geelong, not so flash, though, but I think they'll win this. Geelong get a couple of quality players back, Cockatoo and Lonigan, but I'll take Adelaide despite their record.
Right. Saturday, West Coast play Gold Coast.
Well, this is going to be tricky because Josh Kennedy is out of the game now. He's kicked 35 goals in 7 games against the Suns for 6 wins and a draw. They've never lost to the Suns, but he's been there every time. He'll be hard to replace. They've got to find a goal kicker. Eric McKenzie is back. He's watching the big threat at the other end. That's Tom Lynch of the Suns, a player very much like Josh Kennedy. I'm going for Gold Coast.
Yeah, they're going to miss Josh.
I thought I'd just drop that in and try and get it lost. I'm going for Gold Coast.
Oh, I don't know. I think I'll go West Coast here. Shuey's back in the side, and I just love the way he plays. So,
yeah, but does he kick goals?
Well, no, he doesn't. But Lacroix's hopefully going to kick a few.
Who are?
What I fear here is, because of my tipping record and the way Pete's going, people pay more attention to Pete's election than mine, and I reckon he shouldn't have one.
Well, Dan, I got to admit,
mate.
Yeah,
but he counters it when he puts that crown on during the week and drives them all away, so that's all right.
I will have you know I have had to split the crown and give you half this week, mate, because we did get 6 apiece, you and I.
Did
so,
I really?
Yeah, you did.
I'm excited. Put me back on.
GWS are playing Essendon on Saturday afternoon.
Well, Scully is back for GWS. They were terrific last week, weren't they, against the West Coast Eagles. I think they'll win. I was talking to a guy during the week and he made the point that if footy teams had 26 blokes in them, then GWS would win the premiership by about 7 or 8 goals. They've got that much talent in their squad. It's finding a place for all of them, and they can't play them all.
Mm. Yeah, haven't they got something like 9 of their best 22 out at the moment, and yet their best is still better than the rest of the competition going around?
Well, that seems to be it. Yes, 9 players missing last week, all of whom would be immediate starters in their team, so it's frightening. But then they've still got to win it. The Bulldogs are out there somewhere, and Bulldogs at full strength can't be mocked.
All right. The final game of Saturday night, at least, North Melbourne hosting Richmond.
Now, North Melbourne have got a wonderful record against Richmond. I'm going for Richmond, but with no real confidence. I think North have won 8 of the last 10, including one of the losses, which was when the coach rested the players going into the final. So really, they're probably 9 out of 10 North Melbourne. There's no sort of reason for this other than, if you're looking for winners, the same players going around against the same players. Really, there must be something in that. But knowing me, I've gone for the Tigers.
All right, and then just the one game on Sunday, and it's Fremantle versus Collingwood.
Ah, yes. Now, Fremantle get Aaron Sandilands back, and they've dried off by now. They would have toweled down. interesting footy, because I was just looking at Matt Fyfe. He's attracted a bit of criticism this week. Serious injury. I mean, no one is cutting him any slack. He's played 4 games against Collingwood. He averages just 22 possessions against them in those 4 games. But despite that criticism, I'm backing him, and I think, as we know him, 2017, footy is a week-by-week proposition. I think Fremantle, despite all that happened last week, will bounce back and win this game.
Yes,
if ever a week was a long time in football, it's now.
Good pick.
longer.
You're going to hear both West Coast and Fremantle, those games live on Mix 94.5, particularly with Fremantle, Dennis Cometti as part of the Triple M footy call team on Sunday afternoon. The bye, St Kilda, Western Bulldogs, Sydney, Brisbane, Carlton and Melbourne. Dennis Cometti, a pleasure, mate. We'll hear you over the weekend.
Lisa, Pete, take care.
Thanks, Dan. Bye.
See ya.
Mix 94.5's Lisa and Pete, made in Perth. Join them weekday arvos from 4 on Mix 94.5.